Arunachala beckons all. Ocean of nectar, full of grace, engulfing the universe in thy splendor. O Arunachala, the supreme itself, be thou the sun and open the lotus of my heart in bliss. Five stanzas to Sri Arunachala. 100 years ago, on 1st of September 1896, a 16-year-old Brahmin boy quietly walked straight into the inner sanctum of the great Arunachala temple in Tiruvannamalai, South India. "Father, at thy call I have come," was his unspoken, heartfelt utterance. Since that day, when Sri Ramana Maharishi made his appearance at the holy Arunachala mountain, numerous seekers the world over have turned their gaze towards that ancient holy hill of light. Now, 46 years after the Maharishi cast off his mortal frame, it appears that even greater number of seekers from the West are being irresistibly attracted to him. His teachings are studied, disseminated, and practiced by citizens of all countries from all walks of life. In my 25 years of living and working in an ashram dedicated to the sage of Arunachala, I have observed this increase firsthand. It cannot be attributed to the efforts of any individual or groups propagating the Maharishi's teachings. Sri Ramana Maharishi is a unique powerhouse of peace. His powerful presence is his most striking feature, which even today draws us to him. During his lifetime, he did not display occult powers, nor did he raise funds for any cause, lecture on Vedanta, or go about making disciples. Rather, it was his utter simplicity, transparent love, and illumination that pierced even the most crusted hearts of unyielding skeptics. Here is a genuine, towering spiritual personality. As this decade draws to an end and the panorama of spiritual teachers and teachings of the past century narrows, we find that the sage of Arunachala is emerging as a dominant force. The spiritual power that he embodied during his lifetime is slowly being released after his death, and into the next century it will gain momentum, influencing the lives of countless seekers of truth, and Arunachala will be the center from where this current of spirituality will flow. Throughout history, there have always been a few rare souls whose destiny requires them to act as ships, ferrying myriad pilgrims to the other shore. Their influence does not abate with physical death. Their teachings are not buried in the tombs. The Maharishi still floats high on the water of our consciousness, and his power lies not so much in his spoken word recorded in books, but in his grace conferred to sincere seekers. It is this grace that opens the heart and pulls us into it. The wisdom gained by such grace is not knowledge born out of thought, but rather wisdom born out of intuition, when thought ceases and the self alone remains. Arunachala is the visible form of the self and also represents the path to the self as taught and lived by Bhagawan Sri Ramana Maharishi. The glory of the Arunachala hill has been sung in scriptures passed down to us from antiquity. The Maharishi gave this meaning of Arunachala: Aruna, red, bright, like fire. The fire is not ordinary fire, which is only hot. This is Gyanagni, fire of wisdom, which is neither hot nor cool. Achala, a hill. So it means hill of wisdom. Talks with Sri Ramana Maharishi, Number 216. Arunachala is already one of the oldest and most sacred of all India's holy places. The Maharishi called it the heart of the earth, the spiritual center of the world. Sri Shankara declared it to be Mount Meru. In the Skanda Purana, we read of all Arunachala is the most sacred. It is the heart of the world. Know it to be the secret and sacred heart center of Shiva. Down through the ages, saints and sages have adorned its caves. And it has been said that even now, invisible Siddhas, sages with supernatural powers, dwell in these caves. The Maharishi has confirmed their existence, and some have seen them moving as lights upon the hill at night. This hill is considered to be the original Sivalingam, and the story of its origin is found in the Arunachala Mahatmyam. The legend briefly is as follows. There was a contest between Brahma, the creator, and Vishnu, the sustainer of the universe, regarding the superiority of the one over the other. Everything in creation went wrong and turned chaotic on account of the feud between them. Shiva, desiring to put an end to it and restore order, appeared as an infinite column of light, thundering forth. Whoever finds the top or bottom of this column is the greater. Stunned at this, Brahma and Vishnu agreed to take up the challenge. Brahma took the form of a swan and flew up to find the top, whereas Vishnu became a boar and dug down into the earth to find the bottom. After eons of futile search, Vishnu failed to reach the base of the column of light, but beginning to see within himself the supreme light which dwells in the hearts of all, he became lost in meditation, oblivious to the physical body, and even unaware of himself, the one who sought. Vishnu returned and readily admitted his failure. Brahma, on the other hand, saw the flower of a mountain tree falling through the air and, thinking to win by deception, returned with it and declared he had plucked it from the summit. Then Brahma's ruse was exposed, and being totally disgraced, he confessed his fault. In this legend, Vishnu represents the ego or individuality and Brahma, the mentality, while Shiva is Atma, the spirit. Because the column of light was so dazzling and impossible to look upon, both Brahma and Vishnu prayed to Shiva to take a more benevolent and accessible form so that all beings could worship him and realize the goal of life. Shiva accordingly took the form of the Arunachala hill. Devotees of the Maharishi sometimes wondered why he would often refer to the Arunachala mountain as God. Was he not an Advaitin, a non-dualist? This question was put to the sage by a learned professor, Dr. Syed, and recorded in Talks with Sri Ramana Maharishi. Number 273. Dr. Syed asked, I have been reading the five hymns. I find that the hymns are addressed to Arunachala by you. You are an Advaitin. How do you then address God as a separate being? Maharishi, the devotee, God, and the hymns are all the self. Dr. Syed, but you are addressing God. You are specifying this Arunachala hill as God. Maharishi, you can identify the self with the body. Should not the devotee identify the self with Arunachala? Dr. Syed, if Arunachala be the self, why should it be specially picked out among so many other hills? God is everywhere. Why do you specify him as Arunachala? Maharishi, what has attracted you from Allahabad to this place? What has attracted all these people around? Dr. Syed, Sri Bhagwan, Maharishi, how was I attracted here? By Arunachala. The power cannot be denied. Again, Arunachala is within and not without. The self is Arunachala. To further convey the true significance of Arunachala, nothing is more revealing than these hymns Sri Ramana wrote praising the holy hill. Who is this seer? When I sought within, I watched the disappearance of the seer and what survived it. No thought of I saw arose. So, how could the thought I did not see arise? Who has the power to convey this in words when even thou couldst do so in ancient days by silence only, appearing as Dakshinamurti only to convey by silence? Thy state thou standest as a hill shining from heaven to earth. 8 stanzas on Sri Arunachala. The ancient path of self-inquiry taught by the Maharishi was previously relegated to hermits, far removed from worldly pursuits. What the Maharishi did was to make this path available to all, whether engaged with employment or rearing children or living within the confines of a monastery. With a period of meditation each day and vigilant remembrance of the ideal, throughout our activities, we can experience the true nature of Arunachala within and without. This is what the Maharishi taught and embodied as a living example. The study of his life is equal to the study of the scriptures. For in his every action, the individual self was absent and the supreme self shined forth. This rare example in the 20th century is an unfailing gauge to measure spirituality at its highest plateau, and we should make use of this standard to assess our life in all its varied aspects. Recited daily before his tomb in Tiruvannamalai is this stanza composed by Kavyakanta Ganapati Muni. Good luck accumulated to the Red Mount Arunachala for its having sheltered numerous sages in the past has now grown incomparable because Lord Ramana Maharishi has chosen this hill among many other holy places for his abode. 40 verses in praise of Sri Ramana. The Maharishi never admitted to having chosen Arunachala as his place of residence, but had always expressed being chosen by Arunachala. Bearing and tending me in the world, in the shape of my father and mother, thou didst abide in my mind, and before I fell into the deep sea called Jaganmaya, universal illusion, and was drowned, thou didst draw me to thee, Arunachala, consciousness itself. Such is the wonder of thy grace, the necklet of 9 gems. We also may feel that we have a choice to choose Arunachala, to choose the path of practice of self-inquiry, to choose Sri Ramana Maharishi as our ideal, our goal, our guru. And if we do this with our whole heart and mind, we will also come to know the experience, thou didst draw me unto thee, Arunachala, consciousness itself. Such is the wonder of thy grace. The preceding article was submitted by Dennis Hattle for the 100th anniversary souvenir, a book published by Sri Ramanashramam, India, commemorating Sri Ramana Maharishi's advent at Arunachala.